We would readily acknowledge the need of the Holy Spirit this afternoon to bless His Word. I think that one thing most all of us share is the desire to see the work of the Lord prosper, and desire to see the work of the Lord prosper individually in our individual lives and in our congregations and the church in general. Like if we were to have a discussion, we'd all share that desire and that concern that God would bless us and God would add to our individual experience and also add to our congregation. That's a healthy desire. And we pray to that end that the Lord would save others and that He would bless in our midst. That's a general concern too. We have that concern to see others saved and others that may be saved that need greater understanding. We'd like to see them brought into the church and association with the saints. And the reason we want their lives blessed and we want the work of the Lord to prosper. So that's a little along the line of my message this afternoon, is concerning the prosperity or the effectiveness of God in our individual lives and in the congregation and in the church. In the 127th Psalm, there is a verse that says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." In this verse of Scripture, I'm reminded that how important it is that the Lord have His place in our lives, in our work. How important it is that He is the one that builds. And He is the one that works. And He is the one that prospers. And as we get into our thought, that we'd all have a renewed conscience of how vain it is to labor without Him. And other any effort outside of Him, any endeavor without Him and His blessing or His working, the Scripture says it's all in vain. So whether an individual is endeavoring to become more spiritual and have greater power and greater grace in their life, if it's within themselves, it's all in vain. If it's even through maybe knowledge or natural ability, it's still in vain. Except the Lord build the house or except the Lord do the work, there is nothing really accomplished. And it can work that way also in our congregations and in our church as well. We might put in order or endeavor to do certain things to expand or to accumulate or to enlarge. But except the Lord do the work. Except the Lord is the center of it and His Spirit is moving and working, it's all in vain. And so recognizing that would help us to become more dependent upon Him and recognize how important it is that we have the Lord bless us in our individual life, the Lord bless us in our congregations, and the Lord bless us in the work of the Lord in general. I feel like that as we become more conscious of that and seek Him in a greater way for His blessing, that He will bless us and that He will work and that He will build. Now, in connection with this thought, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it, we would turn over to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and start here with the 26th verse, where it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base thing of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And why is the purpose of all of this? That no flesh should glory in His presence." Now, there just isn't any room for the flesh when it comes to the spiritual kingdom of God. There's just no place for it to operate or to contribute the flesh itself. When it comes to spiritual progress or victory or the workings of God in His Spirit, He makes it very clear that He has chosen not the high and the mighty, or not that would necessarily would depend upon their own talent or their own ability, but God is particular in this fact that He wants, and rightfully so, all the honor and the glory and the praise. And if at any time in our life, whether conscious or unconscious, that we begin to look to the flesh, and the flesh becomes somewhat lifted up, it is going to limit God in being all that He wants to be, whether it's in our individual life or whether it's in a congregation or the church in general. If we come to a point where we begin to feel sufficient within ourselves, our own natural ability, our own strength, our own power, it's going to limit God in doing what He wants to do for us. I believe with all my heart this afternoon that God wants to bless us individually. He wants to bless us as a people, and He wants to work in and through us, but there is no place for our flesh. There is no place for that natural man to seek its own glory or own recognition or own identity. God wants to be preeminent in our midst, in our individual lives and in our congregation. He wants us to look to Him, and that He will receive all the recognition and the honor and the glory. In the first chapter of Colossians, in the 12th verse, I'm going to read a few verses. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principality or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." That's speaking of Christ. And it is Christ who is the head of the church. It is Christ who is the one that has provided our redemption, inasmuch as we can be saved and be righteous and live a holy life. And everything today that is good and righteous and powerful about our life came through Jesus, and He is the one that is to have preeminence, or He is the one to be lifted up. He is the one that all the fullness dwells in, and the Lord wants us to recognize that in our daily life, in our spiritual experience, day by day, that we would come before Him and recognize that He is, as it was brought out earlier in the meeting, He is the way, He is I am, and He is to be lifted up. I believe that God wants His Son Christ to be lifted up in our lives. And that should be one of the motivating factors of living. That should be something that we're very concerned about, is to totally lose our identity or our recognition. And oh, that Christ Jesus the Lord and the Savior would be magnified in my life, in my very existence, my being, whether it be in labor or whether it be in sickness or whatever it might be, that the whole motivation, whole purpose of my life is that Christ would have preeminence and that He would be lifted up in my life. Now, as I seek that, then I believe that God's going to build the building. God's going to build the experience. We don't perfect our experience, or we don't progress in our spiritual experience simply by seeking it within ourselves or for ourselves. But the more that we seek to magnify the Lord, and the more that we seek to have Him preeminent in our life, in everything that we do, the greater our experience is going to be, and the stronger we are in the Lord. And as that is in us individually, it will be in our congregation. And as it's in the congregation, it will be in the church. But we mustn't get away from this, that Jesus Christ today, He is the and in Him is the fullness to dwell. And all the power and all the victories in Him. We never come to the point that we can grow spiritually in ourselves. Or just with more, a little more knowledge do we grow. But it as Christ works in our heart and life, are we able to become strong and to be what God wants us to be. In the 20th chapter of the Acts, and the 29th verse, I better read the 28th. Paul writing to the brethren here, and he says, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that from the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears." Now he had a concern, recognizing that after he left, there would be those that would come right in the midst of the believers. Or we might say today, right in the midst of the saints. And would do their very best to lead others astray. And then even in the midst, there would be some rise up. See, that sought to seek their own identity and their own power and their own following and their own people. And the apostle, he recognized the conditions and things that would happen. And therefore, he warned them earnestly and carefully. With tears, he was concerned that they wouldn't be led astray. That they wouldn't be damaged or hurt or tore apart and brought to death. Today, the same thing can happen. There can be those that would seek their own way, and that would tear, that would wound, that would hurt. But the standard, if I may say it that way, of a Christian, and certainly of those that lead, are those that point to Christ. To those whose ministry, to those whose influence, to those whose lives, Christ is the center. He is the head. And as His people, that's the main message we have. That's what we offer the people. It's not ourselves. It's not our opinion. I believe, and then the apostles say over there in Corinthians, that he preached not himself, but he preached Christ. And that was his message. That was what he brought before the people. It wasn't so much himself or even his personal opinions, but he preached Christ. And that's what we want today among us. That's what the Lord will build upon. He doesn't bless. He doesn't build upon a man's efforts or a men's opinions or men's ways. You can be sure that's not the spirit of Christ, and it's not a right spirit when one promotes their own self. But God's true ministers and elders and workers, the theme of their message and the desires of their heart is to lift up Christ and to establish Christ into the heart and life of each and every one. Now, except the Lord build a house, except the Lord speak through the servant, it's all in vain. While it might entertain and might draw the attention of some, it will never establish people in their spiritual life. The only one that can establish people in true spiritual living is God Himself. And so only as His instruments or His people are used of God, and God speaks through them, and God works through them, and blesses them, can that individual experience really grow and prosper and be that which it ought to be. And I would say the same for the congregations today. Only as God speaks through His instruments, and only as God works in and through us today, will we build a church that is true and that what the Lord purchased. And so, this afternoon, we do recognize that we live in a time when there is deceptions. There is time when there is evil influences, and when there are those spirits that would be as an angel of light. But except that spirit truly lift up Christ in all humility and all righteousness, you can be sure that it's really not of God. Now, I want to call your attention over here to 2 Peter, the second chapter. And again, speaking of false prophets here in the second chapter, let's begin to read the 15th verse. Speaking of those at one time perhaps were in the right way, says, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And down to the 19th verse, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than for the beginning. Now this too we know is a condition of that we live in. There are those at one time live for the Lord, and there are those one time that walked in the light and the Lord blessed their labors, but there came a time that they turned from that. And when they turn from that, they're no longer able to minister true liberty and true righteousness and true holiness. And I think that many times you'll see in these conditions, the evidence of that will be they fail to truly lift up Christ. And you'll see within those who have lost their way and yet endeavoring to be leaders, that they'll begin to promote their own selves and their own ways and their own rules. And really within them, there isn't that true life of Christ and the true humility of the Lord. We live in that time today, and we need to be, take note of that. And remember that except the Lord really works through the vessel, except the Lord is made manifest through that vessel, they labor in vain. Only as God today lives in our life and works in and through us can real spiritual or true eternal value be wrought. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. And then we read also over here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, where there were those that, the fourth verse, these brethren were carnal, they were babes in Christ, and there was envy and strife and division. And the fourth verse says, and for one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You notice how the apostle is emphasizing in this that it's not him or others, but all the glory and the recognition is given to God. Though one planted, though one watered. That this afternoon, that as we work for the Lord, and there are different things that we do for the Lord, different gifts or different callings that we have, and some are planting and some are watering. But that isn't the emphasis this afternoon. That's not what we're really looking to. It is God that gives the increase. And those that truly know the Lord and are living for the Lord, they recognize that, and they're careful to make that known today, that whatever blessing there is, it has to be God. Whatever's accomplished, it has to be God. And true ministers and true children of God, they're not seeking the recognition, or they're not seeking the favor of man, but rather they want to recognize that it is the Lord. And I feel like that if we fail to be careful and to fail to acknowledge God, that it's going to limit God and what He can do for us. Now, there are times sometimes that people are able to take a certain amount of credit by not saying anything. I said, well, I didn't ask for it. They just kind of give me the honor, or they kind of give me the credit. But I noticed in the early church that they were careful not to let that happen. They were careful to make it known that it wasn't them. In the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when the Lord blessed Peter and John, I believe it was, and He worked in a mighty way through them, inasmuch as that a man that was lame from his mother's womb was healed. And in the 12th verse it says, and when Peter saw it, he answered, the 11th verse, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered in the people, and he said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and our fathers, and so on. He went on to bring them a message, but we see where he was careful to recognize and to declare where the honor really lies. Today, I believe that's important in our lives. That as we become even more careful to give God greater glory and God greater recognition and lift Him up in a greater way, I can't help but feel today that He will do greater works in our midst. And I noticed that in them, they were careful to acknowledge the Lord and give Him the credit. In the 10th chapter of Acts, in the 25th verse, when Peter was there before Cornelius, and Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. So he could have just kind of let it go slide and kind of just taken a little bit of a satisfaction. And he was an apostle. He was Peter, you know. But he said, no, don't do this. You stand up and you recognize that I'm just a man like you are. And it's only as God has blessed and worked through me that there will be a blessing. I'm convinced of that today, whether it's an individual or a congregation, when we truly recognize and declare boldly that it's not me, but it's Jesus, and it's His power and His Spirit working in and through us, that He will be moved to work even in a greater way. As I read to you earlier, there is no place for flesh to glory in His presence. There's just no place for the man to be lifted up or to be looked unto. Rather, we need to help people become established in the Lord and recognizing that it is the God of heaven that gives all the increases. It is the God of heaven that blesses in our service. When times are such a blessing and anointing in a song, it isn't the singer, it's God. If there's any blessing at all, it's God that He anoints that and blesses that. If there's a blessing in a prayer, and there are in many prayers, it's not that one that's praying. It's the God of heaven that lowers His presence and honors that prayer. If there's a blessing in a message, it's not the message bearer. It's simply God and His Spirit that lowers and works in and through. If there are prayers answered, it's not that individual that prayed that should receive the recognition or the honor, but it's God that heard that prayer and did the work. We're very dependent and very helpless. We're channels in the hands of God, and as we become more conscious of that and recognize that, it will cause us to seek Him more earnestly, more fervently. Lord, even though I know the truth, and Lord, though I've been saved a number of years, I recognize that within myself there's no anointing, there's no blessing, there's no work. But it's only, Lord, as You lower Your presence, and only as You work, Lord, that there will be increase. And I feel that we all share that today, a desire to see a greater increase, a desire to see a stronger victory in spiritual life individually, and a greater moving of the spirits in our spirit in our congregations, and a greater work in the Lord. And I'm thinking this afternoon that the Lord can help us to be more careful to acknowledge and to declare Him and lift Him up, that He would be pleased to honor us in a greater way with His presence. I noticed in the men of old, the men of God of old, and over in 1 Samuel, this is familiar probably to most of us, but when Saul was made a king of Israel, and God chose him to be king, but there came a time when Saul became a little sufficient within himself, and he decided that he would make the rules, or he would kind of deviate somewhat from what God had declared. And I won't want to go into all of that. Most of you know it. But in the 17th verse it says, Samuel was speaking to Saul, and he said, "And when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." Saul, when you was humble, when you was little in your own sight, when you really recognized how you needed God, that's when I chose you, and that's when I anointed you, and that's when I worked through you, and that's when I favored you and blessed you. But when there come a time that he was no longer like that, he was rejected, wasn't he? Can we expect any more today? It is only when we're little in our own sight, when we are conscious that we're simply a channel, that we're simply a vessel, and only as the Lord blesses us and as He works in and through us will there be a blessing. I notice also in in Solomon, you know, the Lord surely chose Solomon, didn't He, to be king. And Solomon's assessment of his own self here in the third chapter of 1 Kings. And he says to the Lord my God, the seventh verse, "Thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in." That's how I feel about myself. I really don't know how to take care of this business and myself. I don't know how to judge this people. I don't really know how to counsel others. I don't know how. You know, today the world's full of advice, isn't it? And people's opinion. But today, many times, people need godly counsel. And they need spiritual discernment. And a true child of God recognize they don't have that in himself. We don't have that. We need God. Even as Solomon said, I'm a little child. I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to come out. I don't know how to handle this in myself. I feel confident today that as we in spirit remain that way, Lord, I don't have any natural spiritual abilities within myself, but I'm totally dependent on You. And when we become totally dependent on Him and lift Him up, I can't help but believe with all my heart that He wants to work in a mighty way. that He wants to use our lives today. He's looking for us to not only start in an humble way, but He wants us to remain humble. He wants us to remain with that consciousness that really I don't have a whole lot to offer except God bless me. I don't have the right answers. I don't have the right counsel. I don't have any really encouragement unless the Lord lives and works in through me. But as we really recognize that, and as we really seek the Lord, then I know with all my heart He'll do just that. He'll work through us. It isn't the fact that we're, you know, feeling so insufficient that we never can have anything or do anything, but it's simply recognizing the source of our blessing, the source of our strength, whereby that we truly can minister. Have you ever met a condition or an individual that you desired to help and you felt so inadequate and really didn't feel like you could do a whole lot? I'm sure you have. But God can. God can use our lives. But we must keep them emptied out. And we must recognize that He is the builder. And if the Lord doesn't build, we labor in vain. In the 8th chapter of St. John, and the 50th verse, I believe it is, in part, Jesus said, "And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. And I seek not my own glory." Here speaking of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And here He is living down here. And His testimony or His statement is, that the 50th verse? And I seek not my own glory. Isn't that something? He's a Savior, the Son of God. And as He lived here, He wasn't seeking His own recognition or His own glory. He simply was in living to fulfill the will of the Father. He wasn't going around trying in the human to identify Himself or to set apart people for His own self. But He was simply doing the will of the Father. I seek not my own glory. I don't seek my own recognition or my own honor. Christ is our example. And oh, how we want to encourage us today to lose our lives in Him. And may we seek that only Christ would truly be made manifest out of our life. If we can live a life that will actually touch the hearts of others and help them to be saved, what else really matters? If we could totally remove our name or our identity personally from that, see, and just simply have a life that was able to help others get saved and help others to be encouraged and help others to make heaven their home, what else really matters? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. And except the Lord bless us, we labor in vain. And so Jesus said He didn't seek His own glory. Over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in the last two verses, it says, But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. He is our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, there isn't anything wrong about praising the Lord and rejoicing and glorying, but it said, let him glory in the Lord. Let him rejoice in the Lord. Let him lift up the Lord. Let him magnify Him. Can you think of what the world would be like if people put forth that effort as strong as they do their own image? Yeah. You know, their own idea? If people were as concerned about setting forth Christ as they are their own reputation even? You know, we're pretty concerned about our reputation. We go a lot of effort to have a good reputation, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but if we would seek as strong and be just as concerned to lift up Christ and to magnify Him, let us glory in the Lord. I believe the Lord can help us more and more to glory in Him. And in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, in the 17th verse says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." And I want the Lord to commend me. And I know that's what you want this afternoon. You want the Lord to commend you. You want the Lord to recognize and to bless you. It isn't the one that says how great he is or how spiritual he is, but it's the one in whom the Lord recognizes or blesses and works through that is really commended. And so again, we're taught that we ought not to glory in ourselves, but let us glory in the Lord. As a congregation, let us not glory in the human or just the human congregation itself, but glory in the Lord. We as a congregation are spiritual not because of a location or not because of the individuals, but because God's blessing is upon it. And God's not limited in any location. Now, sometimes it's been known, and I say this with respect, there have been congregations sometimes that felt that they were a little more spiritual than other congregations. But this says that if we glory, let us glory in the Lord. If a congregation should be more spiritual, the way that that be made manifest is as they glory in the Lord. And as the Lord lives in their congregation, and as He lives in their life, and works in and through them. It's not a human effort to try to prove that we're a more spiritual bunch than another group. Okay. And I've noticed sometimes that when congregations felt they were more spiritual than other congregations, there was real inconsistencies. And there wasn't really that closeness to God. And that works also in individuals' lives. When an individual begins to think they're more spiritual than anyone else, you'll find that actually there isn't the spirituality that they thought was there. Because real, true spirituality glories in the Lord and recognizes the Lord in their life. And they lift up the Lord and they magnify Him. Individuals do that, congregations do that, and the church does that. We want to lift up and to glorify God in our life. We don't want to come to a place where we, in the human, say, well, you know, we're the saints. And because we're the saints, nothing, we don't need anything. We do need God daily in our lives. We need His presence. We need His anointing. We need His strength. And so, and as an individual, and as a congregation, and as a church, let us glorify, let us glory in God. Let us lift Him up and praise Him. In the 12th chapter of Romans, in the 3rd verse, it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Why do you suppose he wrote that? Do you think that there's a possibility that sometimes people are tempted to think a little more highly of themselves than they ought to think? Become a little bit righteous within their self, or sufficient within their self, and get into kind of a form, and maybe rules of that you do and that you don't, and not recognize how needy we are for God's blessings and favor and spirit to rest upon our life. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. And recognize what we have is what God has dealt to us, what God has given to us. Every bit of our righteousness, every bit of our spiritual strength, It came from God. And we want to recognize that. I'm able to stand. I have victory today. I'm happy in the Lord because the Lord has blessed me. Because the Lord has given me that grace and that strength and power in my life. That I would think not of myself more highly than I ought to think. Over here in 1 Corinthians again, the 15th chapter. And the 9th verse, the apostle says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now listen to this. "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now, we want to make this balance this afternoon. And though we realize that in ourselves we're nothing, we also have the privilege to recognize God's graces and God's blessings and His strength upon our life. People that get the feeling, well, I'm nothing and I'm humble and I can't do anything, that's not God's plan. He simply wants us to be conscious all the time that any spiritual strength or any righteousness or any blessing we are comes from Him. And it's in His. But it is not pride to recognize the calling the Lord has given us, the place that He has for us to fill, and recognize when He is using us and working through us. Well, if it is, then Paul was proud, wasn't he? And he wasn't proud. He simply said his boast was in the Lord. He recognized that he had labored, he had worked for the Lord. He was faithful in his calling. But if you'll notice, he was very careful to say it wasn't me, but the grace of God that was in me. And I think that's important today. I think it's important for us. Whenever we acknowledge what the Lord has done for us and how He's blessed us, to be sure and to be careful that we acknowledge the source of that strength or the source of the blessing, as the apostle did. In the second chapter of Galatians, in the 20th verse, where the apostle said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God." In other words, he is talking about his consecrated life. He is talking about his crucified life, his service, his dedication. And he said, "The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So when he was talking about his sacrifice, when he was talking about his self-denial, his crucified life, he made it clear how he obtained that. And it was through Christ. And it was through the grace that was given unto him. So his entire testimony and his labor and his work, though he recognized it, he recognized also it was God and God's grace that was living in and through him. This afternoon, we want to also live that way, where that we know that the Lord's blessing our life. I believe that God wants us to live close enough to Him today, individually as a congregation, where we feel His presence, where we know that He's working in and through us, where we know that by God we're able to touch the lives of the lost and to help the sad and the needy, and recognize that God is in us and living through us and doing His work through His people, and yet at the same time be very conscious that it's not us, but it's God's. That we're simply an instrument of the Lord. In the 57th chapter of Isaiah, one of my favorite verses, 15th, where it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place," this is God, "with him also that is of a contrite and an humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The only way that you and I can build today, whether it's our individual life or congregation or the church, is to be of a true, humble spirit. God has promised to be in our midst. And we can claim that in an individual way. If we're humble before the Lord, He has promised to be in our life. He's promised to guide our life through that humility. As a congregation, if we remain humble before the Lord and not become lifted up and heady and high-minded and self-righteous, but truly humble as a congregation, the Lord will dwell in the midst. His presence, His strength, His power, His grace will be right there. As a church, we can say the same thing. It's only as we remain humble before God that we can have the assurance that He be in our midst. There have been individuals and there have been groups that one time had the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord in their lives, working in and through them, and they become righteous in their self. They become lifted up in God, just like with Saul. He could no longer work through them, could no longer dwell there. But He has promised that high and lofty one to be in the midst of that one that is truly humble and contrite before the Lord. That ought to encourage our hearts. I feel that I do share this concern with you this afternoon. A great desire to see others saved and to see the work of the Lord expand and see Him working in a greater measure, in a greater way. And I feel confident that this is where we need to concentrate, is to recognize, Lord, I'm truly nothing, but I'm yielded to You. And I live in true humility before You, Lord, and I desire Your strength. Over in the 138th Psalm, and the sixth verse, it says, "And though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off." That says a lot, doesn't it? Though the Lord be high, though He be of all power and all glory, it says, yet He has respect to the lowly. God actually respects and takes note of those that are truly humble before Him. Truly low and humble. I think probably most of us could witness this afternoon of times that the Lord really blessed our soul. That you really felt the presence of the Lord in a special way. Sometimes we say it this way, well, I prayed through. Or I touched heaven. What really happened, I feel, is that we got to a place where in our consciousness we really humbled ourselves before God. Sometimes it may take just a little while to get our thoughts and our mind and our heart drawn in and lifting it up to the Father. But when that time comes that we really are poured out in true humility before Him, He meets us and He blesses us with His presence. We want that in our individual lives. We want it in the congregation. I thank the Lord for how He's blessed us. I certainly would acknowledge that. But I think that we all would say today we desire even greater blessings. I know in my individual life I want a greater blessing of God in it. And I believe in a congregation we want a greater manifestation of His Spirit and a working in His presence. And I feel like it's right within our grasp if the Lord will help us to humble ourselves. You say, well, I'm saint, I'm saved and sanctified, I'm living for the Lord, and that's wonderful. But there's still a place to humble ourselves before God. In the center of God's will, living and doing all that we know that God wants us to do, there still is that place where we can humble ourselves before Him. And just as an empty vessel, Lord, I want you, Lord, to bless my life. I want You to be the builder of my experience. I want You to be the builder of my labors as I endeavor to touch other lives and help them to be saved or be blessed. It takes more, really, than just knowledge, doesn't it? Although knowledge has its place, it's good to have a knowledge. It's good to have experiences that you can relate to. Those are beneficial. but in themselves they're insufficient. We must have the Spirit of God. We must have that power of God, whether it's in our message, whether it's in our personal testimony, in our conversing with others, and trying to bless them and trying to minister unto them. We simply do not have it in ourselves. It's only as the Spirit of the Lord flows into our life and flows out. And He has chosen those that will be humble before Him. My last scripture over in James, it says, if we humble ourselves, see, let me turn and read that. Yes, the 10th verse. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves as the Lord sees you. And sometimes He sees us even better than we see ourselves, don't He? The Scripture says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And there are times in all of our lives that we come before Him, and He showed us how we could be a little more humble. In our own estimation, our own thoughts, we may not have been able to be conscious or see it, but the Spirit of the Lord was faithful, and He pointed it out to us. You can humble yourself a little more here, a little more there. And when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, in His presence, He said He's going to lift us up. And I believe the Word of God. I believe that He's going to lift us up with His power, His righteousness, His grace, His strength. And He's going to work and build in a mighty way. May the Lord bless us this afternoon is my prayer, and encourage your heart. This what makes this so encouraging to me is it's something that every one of us can do. We may feel this afternoon, you might feel, well, I don't really feel like I'm very effective for the Lord. You may feel like I don't have a lot of great ability or natural talent. But I want to tell you that if you will just really humble yourself before the Lord and let Him fill the vessel, it'll be effective. Whatever He has for you to do, it'll work. When we have problems is when we get to a place where we start to depend a little upon ourselves and feel a little sufficient in ourselves and try to do it a little on our own, and then it doesn't work very well. But if we, regardless of where we are in the body of Christ and what the Lord has for us to do, whether it's in a home caring for children or whether it's caring for the sick or whether it's on the job or whether it's in a mission field, if individually we become conscious that I really can only minister and be a blessing as the Lord blesses me, and seek Him that He would bless you, that He would work in and through us, then we can minister unto others. May the Lord bless and encourage our hearts is my prayer.